Welcome to the Onto.io teleconference. Yeah, my suggestion for today was to speak about section one of the draft of the submission to OMG. Are there any other suggestions for the agenda?
No.
Bill, did you get my email?
Yeah, thanks. Actually, I already replaced international standard through OMG specification. And
cool.
I started with these corrections of English allows for and so on.
I didn't get to go through the whole document at all, so I don't, you know, that phrase may appear in other places.
It does.
Okay. All right, that's all.
So you suggest to entirely avoid the term allowed for.
Yes, I couldn't sleep last night trying to think of cases where I've heard it. I mean, I know I have heard it in English, but I can't think of any examples of where it would be better than just saying allows.
Oh, the reason we put it there was that we thought that allow to do something or allow to make something that is incorrect English.
I thought it might be just something that's more normal in German than in English. But I couldn't think of the German phrase that it might have sprung from. But the point is there are a lot of alternatives and I can't think of a way to use allows for. I'm not sure it's not valid everywhere. I mean, it may be valid in many places, but I couldn't think of one. So I just suggest a different word.
Okay. Okay, then Christoph Lange sent some rather technical comments. Hi, Christoph. He is actually in the
Hello.
Chat now. Hi. Thanks for your comments.
Yeah, you're welcome. Sorry for the delay.
And then Tara had some comments, some questions about the XML schema. But that's basically section two, and I think we should first have a closer look at section two and reworking it before we discuss it here. So I would concentrate on section one. So, yeah, have you taken a look at section one? It's actually quite short. It's just two pages. But it's quite important because it's the scope. It also largely follows the RFP or vice versa. The RFP has a section on the scope that has largely been copied from this section because, in a sense, this document predates the RFP. So do you think that this scope, as described there in the document, is okay?
Yeah, the few minor comments, mainly for clarification, also with respect to the notes that were added there. One thing is perhaps because it's across different languages, that in the second sentence we make that italics. So on page two it says DOL does not provide a new elementary OSM language, yada yada. But maybe that could be put on the first page, because that is typically, at least from the previous comments for the RFP, one thing that was misunderstood. That at least they don't have to read two pages to figure out that it's not a new elementary OSM language. If that could go to the first page for it.
Okay.
So like there are a few textual things that I can send. The other thing was on number four on the first page. It says translations between different OSM languages, which sounds very generic. Maybe you would want to add there to the sentence that conforms with DOL. You already have that earlier, the penultimate bullet point. for OSM language to conform with DOL. Maybe it should be added here as well, just to be clear that it's not just any language. I'm not sure.
Could you repeat it on page one?
The second point or the first point?
This first point I captured on the chat, but the second point.
You have number four on page one, translations between different OSM languages. That is following within the scope of the international standard. But because that mentions it so generically, I think you might want to add to that sentence that conform with DOL instead of just any translation between any OSM language. Because all, the sentence on its own is very broad.
Okay, I have captured this on the chat.
And there was within footnote 2 a question if we should talk about languages or logic languages. I would say indeed, yeah, either logics or logic language. I would be in favor of what was proposed in the footnote.
Yeah, I also agree that OSM language is not the best term. On the other hand, later on, we speak, so if we have a glimpse at section 2 on page 3 at the bottom, we say the logical language aspect of an OSM language. And of course, if we say an OSM language is an, if we substitute this by logical language, then this would become weird and just read the logical language aspect of a logical language, which is a bit weird. Because the other aspect that we have beyond the logical language aspect is the structuring language aspect and the annotation language aspect. And so the question is, what would be the whole language covering all these aspects? It's not just logical, but it's also about structuring and about annotation. And therefore, I left this OSM language, although I'm not entirely happy with it.
Okay, yeah, but this explanation, that it makes sense, okay. But then the footnote isn't appropriate.
So you mean we should leave it as OSM language?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. If
do
no
we
one
have
has
OSM language in the glossary? Maybe it's something which he very can.
The glossary, yeah. I hope it's in the glossary. I'm not sure. Yeah, it's on page 9, OSM language.
By the way, just asking the native speaker, Oliver had made the proposal several times that we don't call it OSM, but OMS. Because then you can pronounce it. So invert the order. Any opinion on that?
Well, also it's closer to OMG.
But in any case, it should have the abbreviation should have the same order as the words that we are abbreviating.
Says the person who likes linked data and lives with OWL, the web ontology language.
Okay. I'm not sure to what extent we should carry on such jokes.
But ontology is more than specifications is fine with me as well. I mean, that, even though that the whole thing with specifications is also a bit vague.
We should make it consistent too. The title is OMS.
Yeah, so we could either keep OSM and then say it's the distributed ontology specification and modeling language. Or
and
would
change
we
the title to say ontology specification and model.
But it has the advantage of being able that you can pronounce it easier. OMS.
Yeah, OSM. Sounds good to me. I haven't heard of any competing OMSes out there.
By the way, can we change this in the RFP? We speak about OSMs.
Well, it's an abbreviation. That I don't think that's important. I mean, and if OMG is rejecting the proposal because we inverted the acronym, I think then OMG has a serious issue.
If necessary, we could make one explicit reference to the original term from the RFP, just by one footnote at the first occurrence of OMS or whatever.
Do you think the O would remember this? If it was OMS or who is that?
Okay, then let's change it into OMS. Why not?
Yes, but that other point also, you should say somewhere in your scope that you are responding to the RFP.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you probably want to have a footnote saying that previously the acronym OSM has been used, because, I mean, it's all over your presentation slides and things.
Well, I'm not sure whether, I mean, I'm not sure what the policies are, but I mean, the RFPs will be gone, right? After assuming this will be accepted, then the whole process will be forgotten. The thing which is left over is the finished document.
The RFP will always be there. It will be used forever to verify that responses are conforming to the requirements listed in the RFP.
Okay. So even after the acceptance process has finished, I mean, why would anybody then care at that time what the RFP was? I mean, I'm not saying it will be deleted. The internet doesn't forget anything, but from a practical point of view, why would anybody look at the RFP basically the decision has been made, the proposal has been accepted. So I think the RFP is no longer relevant at that stage.
I mean, for having a look at the original requirement, it might be good to come back to the RFP. A related point is also that later in the document, in section 7.1, we have DOL requirements, and I think this section could go if we just refer to the RFP, because that would be a duplication.
Okay, if that's the way, the question is whether that's the way other standards are doing that or not. So whether you just want to refer to RFP, or whether you want to have a standalone document which includes the requirements, I don't know.
It's still a standalone document, even if we don't list the requirement that we are responding to. And I have taken a look at other standards, and it seemed to me that there they don't repeat their requirements from the RFP.
Okay, fine with me then.
Well, they should show how they're responding to the requirements. They may not want to repeat it all, but they should cite it or list it somehow.
But at least having the use cases which are in the RFP will be of benefit. We don't need to have them as part, you know, as part of the requirement section, but having them in the standards as illustration how the thing, the language is supposed to be used, is going to be helpful in any case.
We should probably have more detailed examples then. We take the use cases from the RFP, but not as is, but we would provide DOL specifications, ontologies, or models illustrating
yes.
what's going on.
Right.
So it's, yeah.
I'm just saying that we could use that material and use it at the beginning of the examples, which then are more spelled out more in more detail, obviously, than the RFP.
Hello. It's my first time reading this. Are you still on page 1? Hello?
Yes, still section 9.
I would like to ask a question. So you in at bottom of the you know from the enumerate items from 1 to 5 at bottom, you said links between distributed and heterogeneous possibly, etc. And then item 4 is that translations between different OSM languages. What are the differences between links and translation? When people
a link can, for example, be between two different OWL ontologies, one, say, on diseases and one on drugs curing diseases, and you could have a link between them. Both are in OWL. A translation could be that you take an OWL ontology and translate it to a different logic, say first-order logic, in order to provide a link, say, within first-order logic to another ontology, say Dolce, which is an upper ontology. So links are within the same ontology language or OSM language, and translations are between different languages.
Can we find a different terminology for link? Because if you read link, you'll think of something, you know.
I really think if you are talking about the links between different languages, OSM, OSMs, so the link would also either automatically determine your translation, or translation has to be defined from the links. But I didn't read the details of the rest. But when read the first page, when I think about relations between ontology languages, so the link and the link would be essentially translation that preserve the semantic consistency. You know, link has to, and translation would be a syntactic mapping, and then that certainly ensures the semantic consistency.
Let me throw in that in OntoHub we have replaced links with mappings because this seemed to be more appropriate, especially in a web context where links may be misunderstood as web link.
But still, I possibly need to read a bit more to come up with more.
But still, I would differentiate between links or mappings on the one hand, which relate ontologies, and translations, which relate ontology languages, or OSMs, no, OMS, sorry, OMS in general. So they are living at two different levels. OMS and translations relate OMS languages.
Okay, possible like links are more like direct mappings at the vocabulary level, and then translation would be language translation, right?
Exactly.
Okay, good. Yeah. Thank you.
By the way, OMS language is a bit clumsy to pronounce, so OSM language seems to be more natural. Side remark.
That's really difficult to pronounce. OSMS. That's a bit awkward to pronounce. Yeah.
Yeah, but we could always hum it together.
So maybe we should say that links are between different vocabularies. Would this clarify the issue that such misunderstandings are?
It's not only, but if you say a bit word between the, you know, the relation between links, that would solve the problem. You say links, this, you know, this at the end of your enumerated items, you say that the links, the relation between links translations are such that would solve the problem. I think, yeah. Or use mapping, that's also equally.
Yeah, what about replacing links by mappings, as we do in OntoHub? Is this okay?
Yeah, that's also okay. But you still need a link, and you still need a link between mappings and the translation. That will help the readers, I guess. Yeah.
I support changing to mapping.
But then I would go for the more generic one and say relations between distributed and heterogeneous ohms instead of mappings, because mappings has more to do with your ontology mapping things and stuff like that.
Also, in English, heterogeneous is also, if you read heterogeneous, heterogeneous itself is already including the relation. The only related different kind of things can be called heterogeneous. If they are isolated, not linked, or not related, you wouldn't say they are heterogeneous.
But let's stay for a moment with this links or mappings terminology. So relations is very general. We have also other relations between ontologies which are not links or mappings. For example, module relations.
Okay.
So I would rather not use relations. But would suggest to replace links by mapping. I'm not sure, Oliver. Is links more common in the ontology community?
I think this is a difficult topic. The easiest would be to invent some new term that is not so heavily used.
We could qualify it, too, to say what kind of mapping it is.
Yeah, mapping is definitely probably better than link. The mappings that we allow in OntoHub, they have a very different nature. You know, if you put like alignments and theory interpretations and things in the same pot, this might not be a good idea.
Okay, so you agree that mapping would be better than link, but Michael, we should qualify mapping, so with what qualifiers?
Well, to talk about either logic mappings or ontology mappings or, you know, like some word like that, that would kind of distinguish things. What are you actually mapping? Because the word mapping itself would have too much ambiguity.
Yeah, so it would be OMS mapping.
Yeah. Right, and see, that would be then kind of just, you know, that it's not just any old mapping, but it would actually be an OMS mapping. Yeah, that's a good term. Yeah, so like Oliver said, you know, we make one up without being too obscure. So that qualifies it.
Great. So could this be an agreement to replace links with OMS mapping?
Sounds good.
Yeah, and then, I mean, informally, people can still go back and call things alignments and interpretations.
Yep. Then
just
why
so,
would you... Sorry.
No.
Why would you want to call it then an OMS map and not a DOM mapping?
Well, I was thinking of kind of like the domain of the mapping in a way. Well, that's a bad word to use too because that's a technical phrase. But the scope of the mapping, if you will.
Yeah, a DOM mapping would be too general. This could also be a mapping between languages. It's also a mapping used in DOM. But here we are speaking about mapping between different OMS. OMS says, indeed, these OMS mappings can be alignments, can be interpretations, can be equivalences. So they are different kinds of OMS mappings.
But then it sounds odd, because then we would have an OMS mapping between distributed and heterogeneous OMS.
Yes, why is this weird?
Because it sort of like makes itself referential and not explaining that it's an OMS, yeah.
Well, it's kind of like saying a group isomorphism is an isomorphism between groups.
Yeah, good point. And especially if we use OMS mappings without the context that they are between different OMS. Of course, if we say OMS mapping run between different OMS, it sounds a bit redundant. But in most cases, we just use the word OMS mapping without this context explaining what's going on. And And therefore, this OMS qualification actually indicates that there are running between different OMS.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, one other point, Michael, since you're here, there is the EdNote number 3 on the top, bottom of page 1. There was a proposal for restructuring this. I'm not sure whether this is still in force or should we leave things as they are?
Top of page 3.
No, bottom of page 1.
Oh. Oh, right. That's a good actually, I kind of forgotten about that we were going to be doing that restructuring. It didn't seem to cause any problems, the current structure. I think the reason why we were proposing this alternative structure was to help clarify exactly, you know, how DOLE was intended to be used. And so these were the ways of doing it. But if this list of features, the way it currently is in this section one, if people didn't have a problem with it, then maybe we don't need to go change it. I mean, the only reason to have this structure was to kind of tell a bit of a story, but I guess in the scope, we're not really storytelling at this point.
Can I make a comment from a reader's point of view? To you?
Sorry, could you repeat
that? Can I make a comment on the first paragraph from a reader's point of view?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So I think, I didn't remember the name, just the previous speaker. It's mainly, so you are talking
Michael
Gruninger. Michael, you talk about distributed ontology, modeling, and the specification language. A storytelling might help if you say a bit of the relations of the three things for people who are not mature experts yet.
Mm-hmm.
Ontology, modeling, and specification language, what do they mean and how they are related in this context?
Right. Well, I think the intent here was to say these are the four primary applications. And so, like, right now we have the following are within the scope, and there are nine, different statements there. And so the idea of structuring it was just to give a little, because instead of just having this list of nine, which people are saying, well, how are these all related to each other? Nine's kind of a funny number to use here. Why nine? If we basically said, well, you know, look, what we're doing within this standard is addressing the design of heterogeneous ontologies, the modularity of existing OSMs, and mappings between OSMs and annotation, and then kind of getting down into more detail from those four categories. I think if you give those four categories, people say, oh, yeah, that's a really good scope. But then say, well, what exactly do you mean by modularity? And so that would be the only thing to do would be to have that sort of structure there. But like I said, if OMG readers were okay with this, just having this list of nine, then there might not be any need to have any sort of structuring there. Because the content's there. I mean, heterogeneity, that's already number one. The links between distributed and heterogeneous OSMs is number two. Annotation is already there, number three. And they're already kind of there, so we may not need to have to actually kind of follow this comment anymore.
So your proposal was just to restructure this, that it has a better structure and is not just a collection of nine unstructured things.
Right. But,
Why not? Yeah. I think that may even improve the readability a bit.
Okay. Well, so I'll take a crack at that then. To reword this a bit.
I,
I think the place to put it actually would be the following features are essential. Like it's in that where we would talk about like what's the scope in terms of building heterogeneous ontologies, modularity mappings, and then elaborating it by saying the following are within the scope. So I wouldn't change the listing of numbers 1 to 9, but I think it could be incorporated into the text just before this.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
What were you saying, Fabian?
Oh, I have an unrelated question concerning the structure of the document and readability, but I'll wait until this subject is finished.
Okay, I think this one's done.
Okay, just a naive question for people who have more experience with OMG documents. So when I re-edited the document to make it OMG-like, there's a section which is about typographical conventions, and one of the things which I just copied from the draft document the template document is that terms that appear in italics are defined in a glossary. I think that is actually something we already followed, but there is no separate glossary. You rather have these terms and definition section, which it was, if I remember correctly, also part of the template. So the question is, will we have a separate glossary added in the annex, or is the terms and definition section basically the glossary?
So there actually has been, this is Conrad, sorry I'm late, but there was a recent actually decision that they don't want specifications to include glossaries because the experience is that people don't maintain them. And while a particular group may be able to maintain them, they decided they just will not, they don't want them in the specs. And so this particular wording here probably should be removed. It's probably from before that decision, which was only in the last, 6 months or so.
Okay, wonderful. I'll we can take it out then. I guess we will have to, we should at least for the things which are in the terms and definition section contain cross-reference or say something analogous to that. Use italics to introduce the terms which are in the terms and definition section. I assume we will keep the terms and definition section, right?
I'm going to look at what we did in the SysML submission since they just recently accepted that.
Well, I would think that because this proposal includes a lot of terms that have technical meanings, link, for example, has a lot of informal meanings, but it has very specific technical meaning here. And a lot of other words that are completely new that we would need some place to put in the terms. The question would just be, what's the appropriate OMG style for that?
Well, I'm pretty sure that in the template document that I used, there was this language about the glossary, and because I wouldn't have put that in on my own, and the terms and definition section was there as well, I think. I have to find the template.
Okay, anything else? Yeah, if not, then I think we can close the meeting. We have just discussed two pages, which are nevertheless quite important, and then I would suggest that in 2 weeks we continue with section 2. Is this okay?
That sounds good to me. If you can send it out a couple of days earlier, next time, I could look at it a little more closely.
Ah, sure. Sorry for that.
Okay. Next meeting in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
By that time, the U.S. will be on summertime and Europe wintertime. shall we maintain the European time and let the North American time shift?
Yeah, why not? I'm undecided.
Okay, quick, tell me what that'll shift it to.
Okay, I will paste. That will shift it to 12 noon for the East Coast. It's on the chat.
Good, thanks.
So Ziming is from Macau, is it?
Me, Ziming. Ziming is now from Britain, from England.
Oh, you're from England. Oh, okay.
I'm from England.
Then we have a GMT time there.
Yeah, GMT time is still 4 p.m.?
Yes, that week.
Because I don't know, so British summertime is coming next month, I guess. As well, yeah.
Right.
March
29th.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's like how we always in summertime. Jiming, that's interesting that we should have met when I was still in Birmingham. I worked at the University of Birmingham until end of October last year.
Oh yeah, but I joined the BCU actually joined in November because you know my contract.
I see. Okay.
So it's a mystery. So can I have your name, please?
I'm Christoph Lange. I'm now based in Bonn in Germany.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. So yeah. Well, I think we will find some time to meet again. So you know, there are all quite a lot of German friends there. Yeah.
In any case, we'll meet virtually.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
So you're in Birmingham.
Yeah, I'm in Birmingham. At Birmingham City University now. Yeah.
Reason why I ask is I actually grew up in Macau. It's Peter Yim here.
Oh, Peter. Oh, yeah. You grew up in Macau. Yeah. So, when did you leave Macau then?
A long time ago. I mean, I only did kindergarten there. And
oh. Okay. So, where are you based now? Where are you based now? Yeah.
California.
Oh.
San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'll see you all in 2 weeks.
All right.
See you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.